بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. When it comes to not just teaching something, it's not just about the actual material, the actual message, the quantitative information, the letters and characters, the knowledge, etc. But a big part of it is also how we teach it. And I mention this because when it comes to when the Prophet was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the best action in Islam? Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he asks the Prophet, what's the best action in Islam? And the Prophet, he said what? Alayhi salatu wasalam. To pray on time, essentially. So it's something very important, obviously, in Islam, in our religion, in our tradition. And it's definitely not something to be taken lightly. It's extremely important. But the other side of the equation, the other angle that we need to keep in mind, especially as it relates to teaching our kids, teaching our youth to pray, it's not just something that you do it because you have to do it and that's it. But we want to cultivate a connection within them, right? Within ourselves as well as our kids, within our youth, with prayer, so that it's something that they look forward to doing. So it's something that they want to do. So it's something that they have a genuine connection with. It's not just something that's forced and then it backfires, so on and so forth. It's not just about what, but also how. What to teach the prayer, how to pray, but then how do we teach about the prayer? That's something that we have the best example in as it relates to in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? It's not just about what the Prophet taught, but how did he teach people? How did he go about teaching different people different things? How did he correct people? How did he advise people? How did the Prophet go about different things? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's important that we don't just, again, it's not just about teaching our kids, this is how you make wudu, this is how you pray, this is when you pray, and that's it. But to also to try to encourage them to understand the story behind prayer, the story behind Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Because when you understand that story, then it gives you a whole new perspective that maybe a person didn't have before in terms of the history behind prayer being legislated. When it comes to zakah, the command was sent down to the Prophet ﷺ. When it came to Hajj, it was sent down to the Prophet. When it came to Ramadan, it was sent down to the Prophet. But for Salah, the Prophet was raised to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is it that's so special about prayer? Right? Our personal, metaphorically speaking, our personal, on a very micro level, our own personal Isra wal Mi'raj is the prayer. On a daily basis, ideally 5 times a day, and we try our best in that regard. We ask Allah to give us tawfiq and to accept our efforts. So for us to take, a reminder for myself and all of us to take the time to talk to our youth, to talk to our kids, not just about teaching them how to pray, when to pray, and that's important, that has its time and its place. But then when you learn the story behind Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, and you look at how much pain the Prophet was really going through. Losing his wife Khadija, losing his uncle Abu Talib, going through Ta'if. I mean, one thing after another. But then you have Ba'da Usri Yusra. After hardship comes ease. And Allah gave the Prophet prayer as a gift, as medicine, as a remedy. All of a sudden it goes from a chore. Wow, I didn't know that. That's amazing. That's incredible. There's so much wisdom behind that. So if somebody's really going through difficulty and they learn about the story of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, right? The Prophet's journey from Mecca to Jerusalem and then through the heavens. We know the story. But if a person connects with it, they reconnect with it, and then they start to adjust their paradigm that, you know what? Prayer is not just something that I have to do, but it's something that I want to do. I gain so much out of it. There's so much healing. There's so much therapy that's built into the prayer. That's literally physically built into sujood. When a person makes sujood, they put their face on the ground. They are literally discharging stress from their brain, from their memory, subhanAllah. That's whether a person is Muslim or not. But when we make sujood, when we do sajda, why are we doing it? So you have all of these different layers packed into it, and then you start to understand and appreciate the depth and the wisdom and the beauty behind the prayer, behind Islam. Right? When we pray, even if we're praying by ourselves, and I'll conclude with this, we have to still recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha is designed, is programmed in a way, is hardwired in a way, where every rak'ah, every prayer, we make dua for us. Even if you're praying by yourself, you still say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us down the straight path. Why are we saying us, even if we're praying solo, even if we're praying by ourselves? It's a constant reminder to connect with the community, to, if we can, to pray together, come to the masjid, maybe pray together at home, maybe at work. You discover that there are different Muslims in the workplace and you pray dhuhr together, you know, at school, so on and so forth. Right? But the beginning of that we need to take the time to revisit, to reconnect with, what's the story behind prayer? What's the big deal? What's so unique about it? So when we do that and we take the time to reconnect with that, then it should, inshallah, refresh our connection with the prayer for it to go. As much as we need to do it without question, it becomes more and more of a thing that you want to do and that you look forward to doing, and you start to treat it like it's the highlight of your day. We ask Allah to make our daily prayers the highlights of our day. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.